Hello and good morning. I'm pleased today to be joined by Iowa Workforce Development Director Teresa Whalert to discuss her department's success in expanding access to Iowa's employment resources. Director Whalert has done an exceptional job of implementing a new delivery system that serves Iowans locally and more effectively while still providing professional workforce staff connections through the use of technology. Iowa's redefined workforce has greater availability to the public with evening and weekend hours, something that was previously not available. Access points are now available in 370 some locations, 1,102 workstations. Saturday usage, a service that was previously unavailable, encompasses over 25% of the services provided during extended hours. To give you an idea of where the access points are, 126 libraries, 46 veteran service organizations, 13 community colleges, 28 state government locations, 12 private colleges, 14 ex-offender service points, 10 domestic violence shelters, 11 homeless shelters, 10 organizations serving individuals with disabilities, 10 counseling and treatment centers, 9 faith-based organizations, 7 sites serving older Iowans like senior centers, 4 Iowa State Extension offices, 4 high schools, 2 sites at the University of Iowa, and 42 miscellaneous community and social service organizations. Iowa Workforce Development has been committed to ensuring that the new service delivery system meets the needs of Iowans. Our tracking data indicates that services are equal to or greater than what they were available at this time last year. I see this as a significant success and commend Director Whalert and Iowa Workforce Development for their good work in implementing this new system. And now I'd like to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Reynolds to discuss it further.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor. I'd also like to commend Director Whalert and Deputy Director Wallace and the team at Iowa Workforce Development for their work to expand access to Iowa's unemployed. For the first time in Iowa's history, workforce services are available in every single county. Iowans now have the option of seeking local services versus traveling to one of the 55 offices that didn't cover the entire state. In communities like Boone and Emmitsburg and Estherville, Iowa Falls, Perry, and Washington, hours of access have been expanded from what was less than 20 hours a week to approximately 64 hours a week, an increase of more than 300%. Additionally, Iowa Workforce Development will continue to enhance technology-based services throughout the new system for the benefit of all of their clients. The National Governors Association for Best Practices said in their August newsletter that the new system will offer greater availability to the public through evening and weekend hours, a benefit that was not previously available. It is clear that since this publication and as we continue to expand the outreach, the success of this initiative is evident. Iowans are better served, and that continues to be a top priority of this administration. And now it's my pleasure to turn it over to Iowa Workforce Director Teresa Whalert.
Thank you. Thank you both, and good morning. I'm really pleased to share with you our story today, and I think maybe one of the most important things to share about this story is the why did we do this. We really focused on our customers, and our customers are Iowans as well as businesses. So when we took a look at Iowans and what their needs are, we really took a look at what their demands of their life schedule were. For instance, not everybody can make it into an office between 9:30 and 4:30 or 8 and 4, whatever the local hours were at the time. And perhaps the local hours were only on Tuesdays or Thursdays. And in viewing our customers and their priorities, we really came up with a new delivery system which led to this technology, to the extended hours, to the availability of our people and our experts throughout the entire time that offices are open, 8 to 8 and 10 to 2. And the way this works is our people then share the responsibility of flexing hours throughout the state so that if a person wanted to get a hold of an individual who was expert in their field, whether it be for unemployment or for job seeking, We would have individuals throughout the state ready and able to answer any and all questions, either through a toll-free line or through an instant chat option that we have at all of our access points. We continue to add new things. This is a very evolving technology. One of the things we added just today that you will see in your packets is a fifth option for people, and it's called I Am a Student. And in this fifth option, we have things like how to find a job, what the requirements are for GED. We are working on a partnership with ACT to add practice testing, not only for GED, but also for college practice testing. And we're also working with NCRC to add those kinds of practice tests with work keys and work trains as well onto that option when you go right into our homepage. So this is an evolving technology. It is very adept at working towards customer solutions, and our team works literally 12 to 15 hours every day just to be sure that we can resolve any and all questions that our clients have or need answers on before the end of the day. So we can answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, first we want to focus on questions on workforce development, then we'll open it for others. Are there questions on workforce development?
So you can practice on the ACT, can you practice the GRE?
We can't. Practicing on ACT will happen within about another month, so it's not up yet, but it will be up under a student. And we have a lot of options. Actually, I'm going to visit with Director Glass today about the options under I Am a Student, so they conform and are supported by the direction that the Department of Education is taking. But as of today, I would say no, we don't have practice tests for the GRE.
Yes.
I believe there's a court hearing next week.
Right. We feel real confident. And first of all, we've got the same lawyer that won the last item veto case, and we think this is clearly an item, and it's clearly dollars that we vetoed. And so, you know, I've had some experience with item veto cases before. We feel very confident about this. Remember, this is just district court. Eventually, it'll probably go to the Supreme Court. So it's going to take a long time. But in the meantime, instead of fighting the battles of the past, we want to look to the future and make sure that we got a delivery system that meets the needs of Iowans in the best and most efficient and economical way possible. I would also say, in addition to this, the department has done some other really good work. Unlike other states that are still in debt to the federal government and the unemployment trust fund, our trust fund is not only solvent, but we are going from table 3 to table 4, and the notices have just recently gone off. This is a $96 million reduction in unemployment tax for Iowa employers. This will be one more incentive to keep more income in the hands of the employers to be able to hire people. So we think that also is another example of where Iowa workforce development has done a lot better job than a lot of other states.
Well, we're trying to saturate the state, actually. Our goal is around 500 by the end of the year, if we could make it that far. We have a list of potential areas, groups, and host partners who have expressed an interest, and they number nearly 1,000. So even though we have 370-plus today, we do think that we are adding these right around 12 to 15 to 18 a week. And we update the list every Friday. So if you ever want to see an updated list, we update the list, and we have an interactive map as well on our website so that you can just key in your zip code, and if you want to see where the sites are around you, where they're located in their address, that will pop up automatically for you. So all those things, I think, are enhancements, but I think the point is we need to saturate every place we can throughout the state of Iowa.
That's one of the other things we're doing. You know, we're trying to make access to state government much more accessible by updating our website and making it easy to transfer from different departments and agencies. We're also working very much to try to change the culture to being one of service and collaboration, where all of us need to work together to serve the needs of the constituents, the people of Iowa that we serve.
I feel like people adequately
I think it's remarkably user-friendly. Actually, we've had many comments of people trying it out for the first time. I believe the governor even tried it out at one of our openings, and I can use it. And
if I can use it, just about anybody can.
But I'm not going to minimize that in some areas of the state we do have challenges. We had them yesterday and we'll have them tomorrow, but we are working on those challenges. One challenge is the area of languages, and so we are working with some translating organizations right now. We do have a translation line that we use with clients who have challenges with languages. And another area we have challenges are with digital literacy, and we are working with a couple of the colleges to help us create and have more digital literacy learning opportunities, as well as helping right at our access points for those folks who might have some of those challenges. But posted right at the access points is not only the 800 line, which is the toll-free line, and the opportunity to do instant chat, but we also have a guidebook, so people can go through a step-by-step book to help them if they need to. We also have brochures, and we have brochures in English as well as in Spanish at each one of the access points, so that folks can take that home if they want to in the evening and go through some of the areas that they might want to explore and be prepared to explore those areas. So we are trying with as many aids as we can possibly think of to help facilitate using the access points.
I was going to just add one other point. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed how the partners have really adapted this and trying to do everything they can to meet the needs. William Penn University, I was there at a function, and they actually have two sites set up in Oskaloosa, and one is at the library, so individuals have access to that 7 days a week, and the other one is at another site where they actually, you can go and sign up for an individual to assist in helping. We were at Hiring Our Heroes the other day, and Workforce Development was set up there. They were at the function that I was at last week, so it's just as I travel across the state, we see them about everywhere that there's an opportunity. They've got the sites set up, and they're ready to walk people through and help in any way that they can.
How many people are visiting these sites compared to how many they were visiting per week last year?
Well, that's a really good question, because we are monitoring usage, and we do that every week as well. And our usage monitoring up until last week was for the total job services that are asked for through the technology, and now we're going to be able to measure it by access point, so we're going to be able to actually tell each one of the hosting partners how they're doing with access. But I think in your press packet we do have some comparisons on usage, so we do compare September and October of this year to September and October of last year, and we have added in a different color to help you understand that usage, what access points usage looks like on top of our actual integrated office usage, and you will be able to see that we are at or exceeding the usage that we had last year at this time.
Well, part of it is, of course, federal dollars have been reduced, but basically we needed to put together a system that would conform with the budget that we had available, but yet would provide better access to the public. And frankly, this is what we're trying to do throughout state government. Other agencies, in fact, we recently had a retreat for department heads in which Teresa Whalert and also our Director of Civil Rights, Beth Townsend, did a presentation on what they were doing to change the culture and making access more available. And civil rights is another, and we'll probably do that at a future press conference. It's another great success story of where we've dramatically reduced the backlog. Even though they have fewer staff, they now have written work rules, they have accountability, and they've gotten rid of people that were violating other people's rights, and instead are really focusing on things that can serve the needs of people that have civil rights complaints. And so this is the kind of information we're trying to share throughout state government, how we can become much more of a collaborative service-related entities and meet the needs and our responsibilities to our constituents.
So is there a figure associated with how much you're going to say?
Won't you answer?
We are projecting about $6.5 million on the state side. On the federal side, we continue to work with their programs because they are, as you know, are ever evolving, and we know that our numbers will be less. We just haven't gotten them yet, as no state really has, since the federal budget is on a different fiscal year.
$6.5 million savings?
Yes.
Other questions on workforce development? We'll take questions on other subjects then. We've had some at night. I know the Ankeny one was at night, and I also know that Linda Fannell and Director Glass have done several nights and weekends. I've done some weekend ones as well. Linda, do you want to maybe help address that?
And Red Oak,
yeah, we did Clarendon and Red Oak at night as well.
The Lieutenant Governor,
come up here.
Education Director Jason Glass and I were in Davenport and Dubuque on Saturday. The Governor and Lieutenant Governor, Jason and I have had other Saturday meetings. Jason has been around the state, so have I. Separately, individually, the Governor and Lieutenant Governor have done weekend meetings as well as evening meetings and some weekday meetings, so it's really been a mix.
I would also say I'm frankly glad to see the Democrats are also talking about education. So we want this to be a bipartisan effort, and you may know that in order to get the waiver from No Child Left Behind, we need to show that we are doing some major reforms in improvement and greater accountability in our education system. We had the Education Summit. We've tried to reach out to all the people involved, and we're continuing to get in. We have more meetings scheduled in this week. So I'm encouraged about the fact that the Democrats also recognize this is an issue that needs to be addressed. We really believe that jobs and reforming education needs to be at the top of the priority list. At the end of the last session, we didn't get the property tax limitation and the reforms of the commercial property tax. But over the weekend, I had the opportunity to address the Immigrant Entrepreneurial Summit, and I can tell you I was very impressed. They had 467 people that registered for that. A lot of the energy and the new ideas and enthusiasm that comes from small business, and a lot of them from immigrants, and I was really impressed with the interest and the involvement there, and recognize that many of these people either start out in their own homes or they end up rent a small place from a commercial business. And almost all of these leases now are net leases where the tenants have to pay the property tax. So Iowa's high commercial property tax is a real impediment to our efforts for startup businesses and to help grow jobs in our state. So that's another one of the issues that we came close to getting resolved last year, but it will be at the top of the priority list along with education reform this coming year. Well, I think it would be in their interest certainly to spend the time and effort here. The one that's not going to do well is Huntsman. He has virtually written off Iowa, and he's an asterisk. And I told him that, you know, basically, you know, he's making a huge mistake. The other candidates have spent some time here. I'd like to see him spend more time. As you know, the caucuses are now set for January 3rd. And I think Iowans want to meet the candidates, be able to ask them questions, and it's still very much a wide-open race. And so I think the candidates, and if you look at what's happened historically, oftentimes it's the candidates that put in a strong push in the last weeks prior to the caucuses that have done well. So I'm encouraging them. Spend the time and put the effort in here, and I think it could be a real benefit to any of the candidates that put that effort in.
Two more interview processes, Thanksgiving forum on Saturday. How much influence do you see his group having?
Well, I certainly, they're one of many groups that's had an interest and an involvement in this process, and we welcome everybody's participation. I also have a big birthday party coming up on Saturday, which is going to be a fundraising event, and we intend we expect to have a lot of the candidates attend that as well. Well, considering that a lot of people left him for dead at the beginning of the campaign, I guess you might say that. I would also point out John McCain last time, you know, was in really dire straits and came back. So I think you got to be careful about prematurely indicating that a candidate's campaign is over, because, you know, we haven't had the first test yet, which is the Iowa caucuses on January 3rd, and a lot can still happen between then and now. We've seen a lot of candidates go up and down from the time that this thing started until now, and I suspect the drama will continue. So, Newt Gingrich is not out of this thing, and I think he's performed well in many of the debates, and that has been a benefit to his candidacy.
Are you concerned with this, anybody but Mitt Romney-type merry-go-round effect?
No, I think it's really anybody but President Obama. And Republicans are searching for the perfect candidate, and a lot of people have been up and down in this process, but I think that people are recognizing that we cannot afford to continue to go the direction we are, that the massive increase in the national debt we've seen under this administration, the additional regulatory burdens and the tax burdens that put us at a competitive disadvantage in this world economy have to be changed, and we need a new leader that's going to be willing to do that.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. I'm just getting wound up here.
Yeah. Just getting started.
Thank you.